Trixie, we don't usually allow that sort of language in a podcast, but it'll do. Welcome to Staggering Stories.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Staggering Stories, podcast number 489.
Wow.
Ooh.
I'm Adam.
I'm Azaman.
I'm Jay.
I'm Fake Keith.
And I, yes, I am...
someone who really can't do an impression of a dog barking for love nor money. And we've got Trixie here. All we need to do was show her a picture of construct number two.
Yeah.
And she'd have barked plentifully.
I'm sure.
Anyway, on to the news with El Presidente. Black Mirror, Season 8 on the way.
Yay.
Charlie Brooker's sci-fi anthology series Black Mirror will be returning to Netflix for an 8th season. The man himself said of this, "Black Mirror will return, and hopefully it'll be more Black Mirror than ever. Luckily, it does have a future, so I can confirm that Black Mirror will return, just in time for reality to catch up with it. So that's exciting. That chunk of my brain has already been activated and is whirring away." As his comments imply, we don't currently have a date or even an episode count, but we can probably expect them next year.
Is it called Black Mirror?
I don't know. He didn't mention.
Yeah. There's already a lot of Black Mirrors there.
Is it really 8 seasons?
Yeah, I've missed a couple, I think.
Yeah.
I must catch up with this.
Oh, Every now and then I like to just go and choose one.
Yeah.
The one with Jodie Whittaker in it is rather good.
Oh, I see, yes. Yeah. A relatively early one.
Yeah.
Enola Holmes.
Dead.
No!
Third incoming.
Ooh.
Millie Bobby Brown may be finished with Stranger Things, but she has another ongoing series. This time, a series of films. Enola Holmes. Netflix has announced a third film in the series will release at some point this year and see the return of Brown as Sherlock Holmes' younger, very non-conical...
No! Canonical!
Doesn't matter. Sister Enola.
She's not in the books!
Also reprising their roles will be Henry Cavill as Sherlock.
Yay.
Helen Bonham Carter as their mother... I'm going to mangle this one. As their mother, Eudora.
Actually, you got that completely right.
Oh. Eudoria, I think, but yeah, pretty close.
He needs the boost to the ego!
Lewis Partridge as the love interest, Viscount Tewsbury. Hamish Patel as John Watson. And
oh, Watson's in it.
Watson's in the last one. Only briefly. Just.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Only just, but he was in the last one. Sharon Duncan Brewster as Moriarty.
Ooh. No Mycroft this time.
No Mycroft.
Good, because we didn't like Mycroft,
there
did
wasn't
we?
A Mycroft in the last
no,
one.
No, because we watched the first one again the other day.
We watched the first one recently.
And we didn't like Mycroft.
It was a nice villain character, but it wasn't Mycroft.
Yeah. He was a total dick.
Yeah. Yeah, I should
have
thought
to that.
First
yeah, so.
They were quite good, yes.
Gregory DePaulney.
Dead.
Yeah. Yep. Actor Gregory DePaulney will not be having any more hands thrown at him, dying aged 82.
A good innings.
Mm.
Best known in Doctor Who circles for playing the fan favourite D-84 Vok robot in Tom Baker's 1977 story, The Robots of Death. He reprised the role for Big Finish's Closed Loop, part of The Robots, Volume 4. DePaulney also voiced a different Vok in the Caldor City audios. Outside of Who, he is probably best remembered for playing regular DS Mike Brewer in Dixon of Doc Green. He was also a regular on Australian sitcom series The Group. Other roles include appearing on Space 1999, Poldark, Tenko, One by One, Howard's Way, and Boone. Later in his career, he specialised in voice coaching, apparently including several top television and sports presenters.
I'm curious. I didn't realise he was in Tenko. I'm looking him up.
No, him and Louise Jameson. Really? Well,
nice. Louise Jameson was in it. She was one of the main characters.
Yeah, not familiar with Tenko.
It's awesome. It's basically... Stop. Gemini, did I ask you to start? I knew what I...
Is it like a work concentration camp for women?
It's a story of a Japanese group of women captured who were in Singapore at the, when the fall came and were captured by the Japanese and taken to concentration camps. And it's based on the book written by one of the women who was actually there.
Oh,
and
wow.
It is amazing. It was the first thing I ever saw Stephanie Cole in, and she looked about 50 then, and this was in the early 80s.
Wow.
And she was in her late 30s, I think.
Went on to do Cabin Pressure and Waiting for God.
Oh, yeah. But it's so good, Tenko.
I've always meant to watch it, to be honest, just for
I have
Louise.
It on DVD.
Excellent.
You may borrow it.
I've some of it on DVD. Bits I picked up from CEX, but they're part two of season one of part one of season two.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting combination.
Middling, then.
Just happened to be at CEX.
Any addendums? We've got a couple of sad addendums, haven't we?
Indeed.
We've got... Marcus Gilbert, who played Anselin.
Derek.
Dead.
Yep.
And Derek Martin, who was Havoc, and also Charlie Slater on EastEnders. Mm-hmm. And Crumbly's not here, so he can't talk to me about how awesome he was. But he's also popped off. But he was 92.
Yeah, Derek Martin. So he started off as a stuntman.
He did. Yeah.
Became a proper actor, in inverted commas, being EastEnders.
Boy!
But he was always in Doctor Who, dying in some horrible fashion.
Oh, yeah, he died many, many times. Oh,
often a unit trooper.
Death by Yeti and Axon.
He got taken out by the Fendal at one point, I think.
He did, He had quite a big role in Image of Fendal, didn't he?
You know, they say that actors dread dying, but, you know, he died with
he
regularity
lived to die.
With and panache.
And the plomb.
Definitely. Yeah.
But Anselin...
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that's a shot.
Marcus Gilbert was 67, Gilbert. And apparently it was cancer, which is a bitch of a disease.
Yeah.
So it's really nice that he got to do some Big Finish audios.
With Angela Bruce.
Not heard those yet, but yes, apparently they got back together because they were meant to be married, box sets.
And as a little aside, Jean, who is also not here because her car has literally fallen to pieces,
like named
her her very first car was named Anselin.
It was.
Yeah.
And it worked much better than the one she's currently got.
I bought Jean a Panda manual for her car at Christmas, but she's obviously not read it.
No. Hasn't used a stapler to put it back together.
Probably in the workshop propping up an event.
And that's the end of the news. And now, the serious part of the podcast.
Serious.
Huh?
We're going to talk about Doctor Who. Pause for music. Right, we've listened to something else from those audio mongers at Big Finish.
Well, you partly listened to it.
Well, I partly listened to it. I was snuggled under a duvet.
It's always fatal.
I know. How's a person meant to concentrate, even on Jodie Whittaker?
And you were cuddling the pup.
And I was cuddling the pup, so yeah. Anyway, we've listened to Return of the Doctor, starring Jodie Whittaker and Mandeep Gill. Let's hear it, chaps. What did you think?
So it's an interesting start. We start James Bond style, don't we?
With the last media res in camera.
Everything's tying up nicely. And Yaz has already got a bit of a chip on her shoulder, criticising the Doctor about her attitude towards one of the locals that's helping them. Putting him in danger.
Because Talpa was only a little lad at the time.
That's it. Talpa is in Scalper. That's how I remember the name. And then...
some weird names, this one.
The Doctor does a trout and runs off when it's all finished.
Yeah.
And Yaz is having a go about that then and persuades her to go back. And in typical TARDIS fashion, they've arrived 10 years later after events.
He goes exactly the same place, exactly the same point, but just
the wrong time.
Can I jump us back a fraction before that? I thought it was very undoctor-like. She essentially tricked the spaceship people into destroying themselves.
I thought that was pretty Doctor-like. She
yeah,
did,
but she was really them. Blunt about it.
Her warning was like, literally like seconds before she
it
did
was,
it.
It was, and then she did it, and then she said, it's your own fault.
Yes, she did.
That's really, you know, even you Colin Baker this. Would have gone, ooh, little harsh.
Yes, but that's exactly what Eleven did nearly every other episode.
Yes, but she's not 11.
Yeah, but
she should know better.
It did feel a little bit out of character for her,
it
didn't
did
it?
A bit. You know, yeah. she if anything, she'd be Peter Davison like it. There should have been another way. Yeah. But she wasn't. She was like, ha-ha, serves you right, we're off. Come on, Yaz.
I think that's the plot required it, because these aliens who invade are gone at that point.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're not the crux of the story.
There's no repercussions. It's just needed for the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
But there were repercussions! Woot! Because when the TARDIS landed, it's 10 years later and everything's gone tits up.
And the Doctor's to blame from everyone, including Yaz again.
And as Keith said, this is what a story they should have done before. It's the consequence of the Doctor buggering off and just leaving everybody to sort out the debris of whatever adventure she or he has just had.
Yeah, try to think. Have they ever done this on TV? They must.
I don't think they have.
Have they never done this?
Never had
forcing the Doctor to go back. I'm not sure.
I think the closest I think
got Time Lash.
Peladon.
No, I think
Time Lash is actually
yeah. Closest I think we've had to it is, as I said, either Time Lash or Face of Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't see the Doctor.
We didn't see the adventure.
Yeah.
Didn't have the Doctor being berated by his companion and forcing them back either. But Yaz is on one for the whole story, isn't she?
She's got a chip on the old shoulder in this one.
And the worst thing about it is that the more she does it, the more vulnerable she is to an alien entity that's whispering in her ear.
Yes.
Yes, the implication at the end is that she was under the influence already.
Yeah, you got the impression.
She did the wrong lever on the TARDIS, which causes
it. It's very much like Sarah Jane in Mask of Mandragora.
Right.
It's, how did you know I was under the influence? Well, you asked an intelligent question.
But yeah, I think the finale was quite nice, because I always find with a Big Finish audios, if there's a big pitch space battle, I kind of zone out and snuggle up under a blanket like Karen. But
do you cuddle the dog?
If there's one around, it doesn't matter whose it is, I'll be cuddling
Tornado
that dog.
Ted.
But yeah, it was talky, but it made sense, didn't it? The Doctor was sort of asking for forgiveness, and that was exactly what you needed to defeat the baddies, as it were.
Also, to my mind, it may have been talky, but it picked up and ran with it. There was never a dull moment. There was always something going on. Even if you're being dragged along by the enthusiasm of Jodie Whittaker.
It's amazing. She's so good in these audios.
She is. And you can see her.
Yeah.
You can see some of them, with the best will in the world, you can't quite picture the Doctor, what the Doctor would be doing at that point.
Yeah.
But with her, you can, you know, she's all over the place. She's like Katie Manning on acid. You know, it's
sort of bouncing around her little booth.
Yeah.
It's funny to hear the interview with the first story we listened to, because she was saying she almost forgot how to play it, and she was asking Mandy, how did I do it? How did I used to do it? And taking tips. But no, she does it really well.
Yeah.
But The Return of the Doctor, we said then that maybe that should have been the title of the first audio.
Yes, it should have been.
Also, where does this one appear in the box set?
I think it's only the second one.
Only the second one. The second one that she did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, certainly released.
It's the second one that they've released.
Because it does feel like they've been travelling together alone for a bit longer than the first one implies. It seems like they're fairly fresh, comfortable.
They're cosy and comfortable with each other, Oh, God, I've forgotten her name.
Yaz.
Or Yaz wouldn't have been so grumpy.
Yeah.
That was another thing I liked, is that she offered Talpa the key to the TARDIS and invited him to come along. And I like to think he said no because he genuinely is that upstanding and he needs to lead his people. But part of me is like, no, bitch, why would I come with you? Look what you did.
Yeah, I've got to stay and pick up the pieces, Doctor.
I know she apologised at the end. I don't really feel like it was her fault. If she had hung around at the beginning, what would have changed? Presumably it took months, even years, for the Whisper to really start going.
Yeah.
Would she have hung around for that long?
Probably not.
Why would she have done? There's no reason for her to have stayed.
Well, I was going to say, she'd have to do that for every story.
Exactly. You know?
She'd never get away.
Yeah.
And also, wasn't Talpa the sort of host of the Whisper then as well? So if she'd have hung around just until she and he recovered, yeah, then yeah, I mean, still it wouldn't have spread by that point. No. So yeah, it wouldn't have made any difference.
I don't think so.
Also, I like the fact that to a certain extent, the whisper is a definition of depression. It's something that's always telling you things are bad, things are wrong. It's your fault or their fault, whatever. So it, an analogy to a depression.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe, was that negative voice in your head?
Back of the head.
Yes. Yeah.
At one point, the sonic screwdriver gets destroyed and she gets a new one.
She gets a new one.
Is it exactly the same prop? Or?
I was awake for that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, presumably the TARDIS has replicated the old one.
Yeah.
Completely, because why couldn't it?
Okay, I accept that hanging around for a year to see if anything bad happens is completely not the thing to do. But she's got a bleeding time machine. Couldn't she look in the time archives or whatever? What happens in a
makes
year?
Time visualizer.
Yeah. Just like, oh, bad things happen. Oh, I will stay around then.
Well, that depends whether it's meant to happen or not.
Fixed point in fixed time. Fixed points,
yeah.
In which case, why is everyone blaming her?
I think I preferred this one to the previous story. I think it had more action in it and I was more invested. I got a bit lost with the first one. I had to listen to it twice. I don't know if that was just because of some of the voices sounding similar.
They were a bit similar, yes.
Couldn't differentiate between the different characters.
Oh yeah, all the planet people.
Yeah,
they come from Mummerset.
Oh, they did.
They were all from Glastonbury way.
Yep, with a bit of voice trim to make them sound like visitors from me. Yeah.
But I was feeling quite at home there. I was. I thought I could go to that planet. I'd fit in.
So the fact
diggers.
That, yeah, the fact that they can dig anywhere. I was picturing sort of moles. Sort of,
yeah,
there was,
with the, better eyesight, but
picturing meerkats.
No.
There was a Eighth Doctor with Charlie and Kerry's story where they came across, they were helped by a creature that dug, that was essentially a big mole.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're the same race.
I don't think so.
Was that Creed of Common?
Yeah, because that was in the Divergent universe.
They did.
Spooky.
Not only
that, you know the title.
They had the same voice modulator going for them as well. Yeah. But that's what I was thinking when I heard
but
them.
Were they from Mummerset?
They were from Wales.
That's different part of the same planet.
Yeah.
Jay, what was your view of this?
Well, this was my first
Witarka
episode. So, yeah, it was. I thought that she very much conveyed that.
Sorry, you started talking and the Trixie's just looked. She was fast asleep. Jay started talking and Trixie's just looked up and her ears have gone back. Yes, and she's like,
sorry,
what are you doing?
Sorry about that. I'm sorry. I was gesticulating with my hands. I will
you're
pet
listening.
You on the head instead.
Trix is allowing Jay to stroke her.
Yeah. She'll do that for you, Crumbly, does she?
No. Jay's sitting in your seat.
Yeah. No, as I say, this was my first 13th Doctor story, and yeah, it really did feel like I could see her in my mind's eye, just the way that her voice was acting. I mean, very, very manic, very animated. I have never actually seen Katie Manning at a convention.
Really?
Oh.
Well, I moved away from UK in 97. Yeah. I didn't get to really any conventions before then, so I missed out on Canada. Seeing a lot of these people at the conventions.
Even if you go and see her, it's just a blur. You can't.
I've got no photographs of her. I've just got this blur.
Streaks across the
screen. Yes, I have heard the various stories, but. But yeah, I certainly agree that this was something that really she couldn't have prevented by staying around till Talpa had survived. So it was a little bit unfair to blame her there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a reasonably good story. I mean, I don't really have a lot else to say.
Can I ask a question, James?
Yes.
Have you actually made notes?
I did actually.
He did proper homework.
I made notes for the other one, but I actually didn't make any notes for this.
Oh, right.
No,
mainly
looking at your tablet.
Mainly because I was listening to this as I was making some lunch and didn't really have the ability to make notes.
Yeah, I did listen to the car. It's hard to make notes when you're driving.
Yes,
I listened to it yesterday. Yeah, I listened to it yesterday, so it's all fresh.
I heard it again today for the second time.
Oh. Yeah, I probably could have done with another listen just to have it fresh in my mind, but oh well.
I certainly have to agree with you on her portrayal of the 13th, because I think that's what struck me about the first story, the first disc, was it? The Vampire.
Vampire Weekend.
Thank you, The Vampire Weekend. It was still very much her portrayal.
Yes.
You would have thought that it may have been hamstrung by the fact that it's only her voice, but no,
it's not.
You can see her. Yeah. She's in there. She's running around.
It's funny, her asking Mandeep how she did it reminded me of when the first time Billy Piper was coming back.
Yeah.
And she was looking in the mirror and she couldn't find Rose until she was with David Tennant, and then she found her.
Yeah.
Did she record these audios before she came back for Shooting Gatwa's finale?
She must have done, because it takes them a couple of years to produce these.
They're recorded in bulk and about a year or two beforehand.
That's probably why she looked so convincing then on TV. she remembered everything.
Yeah, I expect so. Yeah, she does seem to just jump straight back into the role.
Yeah.
That's another good thing for Big Finish, then, keeping the current Doctor Who actors fresh in case they ever need to return.
You go.
Just need to get Matt Smith now.
Mm.
There's the dream.
Yeah, I don't think I ever get Capaldi.
No, which is a shame, real shame.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think it is a shame they couldn't have come up with a better story which would have properly implicated the Doctor as being the cause.
Well, I think that's the point.
I suppose so. It wasn't her fault.
It wasn't her fault. It was, they kept reciting, it's your fault, you've done this, it's all your problem. All
also,
down to
they
you.
Couldn't but identify they couldn't, what she
Yeah, done. They couldn't pinpoint what they... So it was rumour, hearsay.
Yes.
It's how things snowball.
But I
bit of social commentary there.
Yeah.
Mandeep Gill. You don't often get companions angry with the Doctor. When Tegan was angry with the Doctor, it was shouty.
Yeah.
But when Yaz was angry with the Doctor, you can feel the pissed offedness radiating off of her.
Yeah.
Again,
being Mardy, as they would say in that era.
She did a really good job as well.
Right,
we would love to know what the rest of you thought of Return of the Doctor by Big Finish. Write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo!
Right, like the rest of the world,
yep,
we have watched the final series of Stranger Things. And so we've talked to you about the first four episodes already. So now we're going to talk to you about the last two and the finale.
Last four.
I'm going to talk to you about the last three and the finale. Pause for music. Right, last time we spoke about Stranger Things, we had a question.
Did we?
We said, will they stick the landing?
Mm.
Now, me and Keith are in agreement on this, that not only did they stick the landing, they added an extra little twirly bit and offered the judges flowers.
I was really worried about them sticking the landing because the last three episodes... Mm-hmm. Didn't grip me as the first three did. To my mind, it came across more sort of padding.
Yes.
Padding and retracing some of the greatest hits that they've already done.
There were some slower moments.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's why...
They were long episodes.
That's why, according to my hopes and fears and New Year's episode, mm-hmm, I wasn't certain about them sticking the landing because I hadn't seen the episode.
Opinions differ. I know generally a lot of people are disappointed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought it was absolutely outstanding.
I wouldn't go that far, but I thought it was pretty good.
I definitely wasn't disappointed, but that last battle with... Vecna. Yeah, sorry.
Or Henry Creel or
one. Henry Creel or one.
Cheesy What's It, whatever his name was.
Yeah. Once he was finally skewered, I was convinced that was too easily, too quick.
It's about an hour before the end of the episode.
That can't be the end.
They did have shades of Lord of the Rings Babylon 5 with multiple endings. That's it. We've finished, but we've still got another 30 minutes. That's it. We've finished, but we've still got another 20.
In a way, the skewering and eventual really vicious decapitating...
In front of the kids.
Yeah.
In front of the kids.
Of Vecna reminded me of episode 3 of season 8 of Game of Thrones, the Battle of Winterfell, when everything was awesome. It was would have been a brilliant final episode, but you still had another 8 episodes to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only criticism I had was, where did all the demigods go, dogs go? They were tromping through the Upside Down, and they weren't attacked once.
Yeah, they were in the
real world, not the Upside Down.
The other one,
the abyss. The Earth, you had the other planet, yes. And the stuff in between is the Upside Down.
Yes,
and there should have been demigods in there.
There should have been, well, in both.
Yeah,
The demigods and the demigordon originated in the abyss. They didn't originate in the Upside Down.
Yeah, but all the other seasons, you know, you only have to sort of step into the Upside Down and suddenly they're on you. Yeah. Look what happened to Eddie!
Yeah, but what reason really was for them to be in either the Upside Down or the real world?
Are you saying they didn't deserve to exist? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying there didn't seem to be any reason that they were there, because Vecna was doing his thing. He was all concentrating on that, believing that no one really could get him there. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to actually have your enforcers trying to enforce things if people can't reach you.
And it also depends how many enforcers were left. How many demigods were left? Because you had the whole group that was wiped out by Will.
Yeah.
And then there was those other two that got blown up by the oxygen tank in the washing machine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was a dirty, great big planet there, so you could have felt it was more than like 20 demigods.
It depends how many were there, you know, how many were there.
I just thought it was a noticeable absence. I'm really going to sneeze at some point. I'm not sure when, but it's building up.
I'm also going to cough now.
Ooh. Go on then.
The tension.
Does anyone have a fart building?
Hang on, bear with me.
Don't you dare.
I don't see it at all, looking at the Abyss, Dimension X, whatever we call it, how there's any kind of life there at all. There's no obvious biosphere.
No.
It did look a bit like Nevada, didn't it?
There is life, Jim, but not as we know it.
Yeah, but what are they feeding on, normally? Not humans.
We don't know.
Yeah. What was all the white goo that was oozing over the building?
That was meant to be the foundations of the building, as the concrete actually melting.
Right.
Yeah, that was
looked really good, didn't it?
The towers.
Yeah, I don't know if any of you have seen the making of that came out.
Not yet. I know it's
yesterday.
Just been released, but
yeah, it's quite interesting. They were talking about how they didn't want to just repeat what they'd done in previous seasons, and also in the part 4 finale, semi-finale, with all the demodogs and demigordons.
Yeah.
Gordons? Gorgons coming in and attacking, so which is why they didn't.
Yes, Adam made a mistake.
Which is why I think they weren't there in the big fight at the end.
Right.
I think they felt it was just a retread of what they'd already done only a few episodes earlier.
Like I said, the first 3 episodes, certainly with Max escaping from the mindscape.
Yes.
I thought was a rehash of the first escape with the song in the graveyard.
Oh, Kate Bush.
The Kate Bush. I thought that was, I've seen this.
A bit.
Yes. I want something new. That's why I was slightly disappointed by the 3 episodes. Okay. I thought they were, as I said, they were padding. One, to get pieces into the right position.
Yeah.
But it was mostly, to my mind,
there were a lot of characters that had to be serviced in various levels.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of the secondary characters didn't get much to do. Even Joyce didn't really get anything to do apart from
hacking off her head
at the end.
Yeah.
She was only there to do that.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing.
She disappeared for a little while.
Yeah. They had so much opportunity to absolutely tear our hearts out by killing more of them off.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it.
No, and I don't think they're ever planning to do that.
I wish they had.
It is meant to be 80s Spielberg. So you wouldn't kill off the kids, even though they're now grown adults. You wouldn't kill them off, because that would
We were convinced Hopper was going to go. I thought he might sacrifice himself.
Well, he was going to blow himself up at one point, wasn't he?
Also, it was either Steve or Jonathan.
Oh, yeah, we had the whole love triangle thing. But as it turns out, Jonathan wins because the two actors are going out.
Hopper got his date in the end, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
He finally got to Enzo's or whatever the name of that place is.
Yeah. But the wrap-up did take a bit long at the end, didn't it?
After everything kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. But when they got the older kids, as they were on top of the squawk, saying their goodbyes, I thought, okay, I need to go to the loo, but it must nearly finish. Oh, no, 45 5 minutes left to go.
Now, do we... I personally don't think 11 made it out.
No,
I think that's all wishful thinking.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking that I think she did make it out.
Ooh, a different sort of opinion.
I do, because I do buy... I do buy into the theory that what his face was saying, that the loudspeakers were going off, and so she couldn't have really used her powers then.
Yeah.
But were they facing her?
They were.
They were.
But I think you can probably get around that in the fact that she's in a different dimension.
Because she wasn't...
Maybe they couldn't penetrate
over,
via the portal. Yeah, yeah. She was the portal.
Maybe...
But her powers could get through the portal.
Well, I'm choosing to believe she did.
Yeah, it could go either way.
Yeah, the way they've set it up is it works for what you think happened.
And you notice they clearly couldn't find somewhere with three waterfalls, so you saw one waterfall first and then the two waterfalls together.
Tyler 3 is not bad.
It's not.
Yeah.
Talking of padding, though, I was getting a little annoyed with how predictable the slow-mo was. It was like running down corridors and screaming no. Everything had to be slow-mo.
I had to make it over 2 hours long.
Yeah. I'm sitting here agreeing with you, but I loved every minute of it.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was wonderful.
I did enjoy it, but honestly, there was that moment where Vecna got skewered and I went, sure. No, they've got to put it, because that's the sort of thing they usually do, isn't it? You think it's over, and then they get you again.
Still alive.
It was an illusion.
Was still alive until Joyce came along.
The Demi Gorgon, Gordons come out.
Yeah, maybe that's reminded of Flash Gordon then when he skewered on the
Ming, isn't it? Yeah.
I was waiting for the ring.
Yeah.
I did like the bit where Eleven just sort of ripped him away from the netting where he was all tied up in the ring.
Oh, yeah, she just jumps through like a Jedi. Yeah. Rips him down,
and I like the combination of her battling Vecna in there, and everyone else is battling the big monster on the outside and ripping its stomach.
That was a good spider thing,
yeah.
Because at that point, I thought, okay, we're losing Nancy,
doing her Ripley,
Yeah.
And that spider thing, is that what Will used to see in his
That was the
visions?
Mind Flayer.
That's the Mind Flayer's true mind form. Yeah.
I did like that, yeah. Finally got some action sequence with the Mind Flayer, because it was just sort of in the background before, wasn't it? To actually have it as a big boss at the end.
Yes. If we believe him, anyway, we've got an answer whether Vecna was controlling the Mind Flayer or vice versa.
Yeah.
Apparently it's more of a partnership.
Yeah. I think it was started off as the Mind Flayer controlling Vecna, and then Vecna. So, yep, we'll go for it.
Yeah.
We're enjoying this.
We had some of the youthing, the looking back at the kids when they were younger.
Yeah.
And it's the first time ever where I thought one of them was a bit off. Will didn't look right to me. And that's me, you know, with no eyesight.
Well, that wasn't actually de-aging. That was a different actor playing younger Will.
Oh, that's all right then.
So if you watch the making of, they show adult Will, whatever the actor's name is, coaching the younger one how to act. Effectively, he was directing his younger version.
Himself.
Is it Noah Shapps?
Yes.
Noah Shapps, yeah.
Like when they did L.
Yeah.
The younger L in previous season, was it?
Yeah.
It was a different actor.
I have to say, talking of Noah, I'm not sure what I think about Will's coming out scene, because it just went on and on, didn't it?
I actually had no problem with that. Simply because Henry stroke Vecna plays on your insecurities and that. And he hadn't told anyone.
Well,
and
no,
he's
Robin,
madly in love with his best mate without actually having the balls to say,
I was thinking, if you're that worked out, maybe you need to do what most of us do and just tell one important person, like your mum. And then build up the courage rather than just do it at a room full of people. Because I'm not sure what he's going to say at first. Obviously, I knew where he was leading.
But it's not the same. I imagine it's not the same for everyone.
No.
You know,
and it's a rather unusual situation, to say the least.
Just needed to get it off his chest.
Before they go into the fight,
he needed to tell
vulnerability.
He needed to remove that weakness in himself.
Yes. It reminded me in a way, I understand what you're saying about it taking a while, but I think it needed to be said, but it reminded me in a way of that point in Doctor Who in Rosa, when Yaz and what's-his-face decided to take a couple of minutes out to sit behind a dumpster and talk about racism. And it's like the story was going at a decent pace, and then suddenly this, it's an important thing that needs to be said, but, you know, you just broke up the pace of the whole story.
I didn't mind that, because this is a penultimate episode. It's all going pretty slowly anyway.
I thought maybe he was getting so upset because Mike was in the room. And I thought maybe he was sort of saying it to him as well.
Well, that's what I thought. Clearly it's Mike that he has fallen in love with. He doesn't know how he's going to react. Yeah. Is his best mate going to just abandon him in front of everybody he loves? Mike was cool.
And he's also had the images implanted in him via Vecna. When he does tell it, it all goes horribly wrong and he's abandoned.
Turned and everything, yes. Yeah. Which is never going to happen, was it?
No. We know that.
Yeah, I suppose he didn't, but yes.
Anything else?
So much.
So many notes.
He's made notes as well.
I have made notes. I loved the Dustin bit at the graduation, which is a callback to Eddie was going to his graduation.
But that's how it was meant to be, you know.
Yeah. Because I don't know if you've noticed, you can buy those Hellfire t-shirts.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Primark.
Primark. Yeah.
I did love, personally, I did love the way it ended, the way it began.
A D&D. The first scene.
A D&D game.
Introducing the new one.
Oh, yeah.
I love the, I can't remember which girl it was, she held up the model of the Demogorgon.
Yeah.
I said, you said this wasn't nerdy. This is as nerdy as it gets.
Yeah.
But yeah, handing over the baton, as it were.
Yeah, because they finally get invited to the cool kids party, don't they?
They do.
But they go home and do a bit of D&D.
Yeah. Last chance.
Question, though, what kind of deranged school has that as their colour?
Yes.
Horrible.
Yeah. Orange.
They look like those little creatures from Lemmings. You know, the Lemmings. All sitting in little rows.
Really nasty looking material too.
Yeah, it didn't look nice.
Looking horrible.
I really liked Dustin's mum as well. You know, every opportunity she's just
since season two.
Yeah, it's good to see her.
Jay, you were about to emote.
I was, but I forgot what I was going to say.
That's all right. We all do that.
Lots of soldiers died.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was no apparent comeback at all on our murdering group of heroes.
Yeah, it's because everyone's scared of them.
Because it was Linda. Is it Linda Hamilton?
Linda Hamilton.
She had no comeuppance at all.
No,
she vanished.
Yeah, that was it. She didn't. I mean, to get her back, that was disappointing. But she didn't actually either get shot, get killed, or arrested.
Why didn't Elders rip her head off right at the end?
Yeah, or her wig.
They're all wearing wigs in that program. Even Max, bizarrely,
even
as a natural hair girly. But there's a lot of things. Well, several things which weren't quite paid off in my feelings. Like earlier in this season, we had the bullies beat up Dustin.
Yeah, they're still.
And in earlier season, when that happened, they got their comeuppance. They didn't get referenced again.
Well, that's because they were so far beneath.
They were.
What we had to be focused on. They were little. They were ants compared to Dustin. Well,
and
by
also,
the end of it.
Also, they've moved on. They're in different schools. They've split and
Well, they would have been at the graduation, surely.
I understand, but there's no need to reference them anymore because they're no longer a problem.
They'll end up working part-time in Walmart.
Yes, and I understand the reason they were put in there was to show Dustin's self-loathing and how he wanted them to beat him up. But still, it felt like a plot thread which was just dropped.
They did that in the previous season, didn't they, with 11 getting bullied by that girl, and although 11 bashes her face in with a roller skate or something, they don't appear again, do they?
Well, in that case, they got there.
They did, two or three episodes in, didn't they? Yeah. Straight away.
I don't really know if it would have served anything to really
have them
have their comeuppance, though.
Maybe not.
It wasn't a major plot point.
Yeah, and also, if Dustin did go back and get revenge, as I said, they're so far beneath him, it belittles what he's become.
Mm. Yeah, but maybe have them know that Dustin and his friends saved the world, I don't know, there must be some way
Well,
to...
Well, Dustin's valedictorian, so they know he's better than them.
Yeah.
Just imagine they're all working part-time in Walmart night shift.
Yeah, I know.
That should be enough.
And Dustin got his day with the Hellfire Club Reborn or whatever in the valedictorian speech anyway.
Yeah,
so.
which would have been videoed. Yes. Yes, it would have been. Yeah. It would have been camcordered.
Yeah, that would have been big video cameras. Yeah.
Presumably all the women who were in the Upside Down, the pregnant women, are all dead.
Yeah, because they were in the military facility, which was in the Upside Down.
But are there any other people like 11 and H still out there? There is talk of a potential spin-off, so maybe that's where they go.
No, that doesn't sound like where the spin-off's going to go, because there was a recent interview with the Duffer Brothers about the potential spin-off. And that seems to be more about the origin of the case that the courier had when Henry found him.
Okay.
He said the Duffer brothers were saying there's a lot they can do with that.
Because we never saw what was in there, did we?
We did. It was the rock.
But
I think they were saying there was no it wasn't specified at all, or it's left vague as to where it came from.
Yeah.
So it may not have come from the Abyss. It may have come from somewhere else. And that's where the spin-off is.
So they're going to Rogue One it.
Yes.
Is that a term?
It is now.
Okay.
Yeah, but despite all these potential niggles with what they could have done, I was actually very happy with what they did do. It was much less about the plot. Getting rid of Vecna, getting rid of the Mind Flayer was fairly obvious and fairly simple, relatively speaking. It's more about the closure of the characters' stories, and I quite liked what they did with that.
Yeah.
For me, it was a satisfying ending. I was happy with the ending.
Yeah. I loved it.
And it makes sense for a slow burner that's character-driven as well.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, I just started rewatching season one. I'm most of the way through that, and it's interesting how far they came.
So babies!
Yeah, they're so young. And I hadn't remembered that Mrs. Wheeler, whatever her name is, she was one of the main characters in that first season.
Yeah, and then she kind of dropped out of sight, and then she's back again.
Yes, she was on the opening credits.
Yeah,
I did like that she's still got her scars.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
When she was at the graduation, she wasn't attempting to cover them.
Yeah.
She was wearing them with honour.
But she's still with that loser.
Well, this is it. Are they still with the loser? Is she still with her husband? Or have they just turned up because Mike's graduation?
I think they're still together, but I suspect Holly has grown up.
Yeah, I don't think, well, as I said, it was a relationship that had gone into free fall at the beginning of this season.
Yeah, because at one point, wasn't she going to have an affair with Max's brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
They seem to be heading down that
season two. Was that,
or perhaps it takes nearly being ripped to shreds to bring them back together.
Yeah.
All right, we could talk about this for many, many hours, but it makes editing a right chore. So we're going to stop there, but we're going to ask you what you thought of the wind-up of Stranger Things. Write to us via show...
at
staggeringstories.net.
What's your name, Mr. What's It? Named after
just
the...
what kids after the little cheesy bit. Because over there they had Cheez-Its, don't they? Or Cheetos.
I think it's the character out of the book that they were reading.
I assume it is, yeah.
Before we say hello to people.
Oh, yes.
We should say hello to someone else.
Oh.
Hello, Keith.
Hello, Kat.
He's over there.
On the stair.
Glaring at Scott.
Oh, yeah. Scotty.
Because I tried to nick his hat earlier.
And he seems to be cuddling Nebula.
Well, we'd all do that. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee.
And your hat.
Hello, Inky McSquirts-a-lot, Dinky McSquirts-a-lot, and Rinky Dinky McSquirts-a-lot.
Dangerous Churchill, Nazi Spock.
Handles.
Terrence.
Save Zilla the Mighty.
But we don't want to draw attention to Sandy at the
Sandy
moment.
Sandy and Valentino are doing something quite disgusting, and I hope Adam's parents don't come round. Folded up and propped against the radiator, Clara, Moomin, and Trixie.
You were saying, Scott.
But,
yes, that was it. Now it's time for feedback.
Feedback.
Right. We've heard from Andrew Scott.
Hello, Andrew Scott.
Andrew says, dear staggerers, including the head of Pertwee, a belated Happy New Year, and thank you for the Christmas card. Loved it, but a little concerned for the mind of the person who created the inside. The war between the land and the sea felt a little like the writers thought there would be 6 episodes, but no one told them until they had written episode 4. The special effects were very good, and Mr. Toby was great.
Yep.
With regard to the resolution, and to quote, there should have been a better way, I think that will be it for that world, I'm afraid. But hopefully not for Kate Stewart. She's too good to go, although she could be the poster person for a new Keep Britain Tidy campaign.
Yes.
Having been left feeling a little let down by the Section 31 Trek offering this year, I'm looking forward to Academy. The trailer looks very good, but I've been fooled before. The inclusion of some legacy characters gives me hope. Similarly, Strange New Worlds has been a little disappointing this season, with a couple of the episodes, and to be honest, it's probably Prodigy and Lower Decks, which have been the most consistent fun in the last couple of years. My hope for this year is that you all enjoy good health, and keep enjoying what you do, and inviting us along every other week to join in on the fun. All the best, Andrew Scott, still from Leicester, fighting with a new iPad keyboard. Curse you, caps lock.
Yes, the middle, apart from the Head of Pertwee photo, was AI generated.
Oh.
So if you look on the signpost at Sano's Grotto.
Yeah.
Not Santa's Grotto. Because it's a point in time where AI is still rubbish at doing words.
Oh, brilliant.
Give it a couple of years' time and AI wouldn't have that problem. So.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me, have you got any spare Christmas cards?
Only a couple, but yeah.
Because I kind of recycled ours.
Oh.
I tried to keep them.
And we tried to keep them.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any more feedback?
We have a bit of audio feedback.
Yay. Hooray. Who from?
It's from Reese.
Hey, Reese.
Hello, Reese.
Hello, Staggerers.
Hello.
Pertwee. And hello, various cardboard cutouts of Amy and Clara. Hello, the many Velmas, apparently. I've heard there are some Velmas around.
It's quite a few.
Hello to Moomins.
Yes.
Ghosts. And Dangerous Churchill and Nazi Spock.
Yeah.
And this feels like it's 20 seconds of just saying hello to people, so I might move
on.
Hello to everyone, be they real or inanimate. How are you all? I hope you're well. I hope you had a good Christmas. I hope you had a good, or you've started off your new year well, ignoring any global events that are utterly insane. And what are we doing as a species?
Stop
anyway,
watching the news.
I hope everyone's doing well.
Yes, too depressing.
That was 45 seconds of greeting people, so I'm going to get on with this because I've got a lot that I could say because it's been a long, long time since I've sent anything to you wonderful people. And on that note, I'm actually joining a chorus of people who are very grateful for, one, the Christmas card. I got it. It arrived before Christmas. It was very nice.
Good.
It was very fun. And also just gratitude in general. I've been listening for a long time, like Riley has been. And they sent in feedback 2 episodes ago. And Mr. M and fake Mr. M, they've listened for a long time too. And I felt like I'd join in and just say, yes, I'm still here. I sometimes come and go because when you review a lot of Big Finish, I haven't heard much Big Finish. I've been diving in. I've listened to the first 20 in the main range recently, but
right.
So much. So much.
There is a lot.
And so I'm a bit behind. So when
it's
you review
daunting.
Things I haven't seen or heard, I do sometimes put that episode on the back burner of your podcast and I come back to it later. But I'm still here. And I listen, and I'm really grateful for what you do, and it's a lovely community, and I agree with all the things that Riley said in their feedback 2 Aww. Episodes ago. They said it's hard as a queer person sometimes to find a community. I'm not queer, but I live in regional Australia, and I liked a lot of science fiction and British stuff and Doctor Who, which are both of those things. Yeah. And there aren't that many people like me in regional areas.
Well, you've got good taste.
Growing up, you were good company. And so were your listeners. And I know you guys on Facebook and many of your listeners on Facebook too. So it's a nice thing that has happened because of this podcast and the years and years you've dedicated to it. So thank you very much.
Too many.
So the past year, 2025, was very good for TV and movies. And there's so much to talk about that if I get started, I might be here for 3 hours. So I'll try and be careful not to. I'll just say that Doctor Who was really good. That's Doctor Who season 15. None of this season 2 nonsense. If you're too scared to even keep making the show, you can't tell us how to refer to it. And it was really good. My major problem is that I wish Shooty had stayed around longer. I'm really sad that he's gone.
Yeah, understand why.
I think Billy Piper could do a really good job. I think since playing a pretty normal young person in Rose Tyler, she's had an excellent career and she's played many quirky characters. And for me, I like the Doctor to be quirky, so hopefully she could be quirky. I get the feeling it's only going to be for one episode.
Yes.
And they might do a season afterwards. I thought that's what the announcement was. They're going to do
a
Christmas special at the end of this year.
Still
don't know. And then I thought there was a season for 2027, but I could have read that wrong.
Yeah,
anyway,
unfortunately.
I hope she's good. I hope she has a good time. It did feel desperate when she came in, but also I like her a lot. So whatever. We'll find out what's happening.
Yeah, they can do fun
stuff. It could have been one of those things where they left it on the cliffhanger of a regeneration, and that could be interesting.
Yeah.
But it might never come back again if they did that. But the fact that they've got Billy Piper there, it might draw some interest. So, look, I don't know. Anyway, Doctor Who was good. Not enough Shooty. He should have been there longer.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with Adam. I think it was a prediction. But it might have been a hope. It's a hope for me. I think it was a prediction for him. He thinks that the BBC will reach out to previous production companies, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, for example, to help fund a future season or two. Hopefully it's a few.
Yeah.
I hope they reach out to the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Company, because we'd have ABC, BBC and CBC, and they just find it funny. But also because CBBC. They used to pay for the distribution rights here for Australia, and I hope it actually goes back on the ABC when it comes back. But also, you know, I wouldn't mind, as an Australian taxpayer, some of my money that goes to the ABC because it's a government organisation, essentially. it's a public broadcaster, can go towards Doctor Who. So I would be pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
What else can I talk about just quickly? It's recent, so I'll talk about how I really liked the Stranger Things finale. I thought the finale was perfect. I thought the season was really good overall. I think some people just don't pay enough attention, really, and they get frustrated that they feel like there are plot holes. Now, there are some choices that are made that people don't like. I get that. But people were saying that there were plot holes, but it all worked well for me this season. It wasn't my favorite overall. I think season 3 is my favorite, but still, great season this year. Not this year, because one of the episodes was... It straddled a year, essentially.
Yes.
Anyway, good season, season 5. Great show. I thought it was lovely that the final scene, the Duffer brothers and the cast have confirmed that the final scene of the show was the final scene they filmed together.
The whole cast.
The kids. And it mirrors the first one, which was their first day. And so that's a really special thing. Another thing I want to quickly mention, just because I haven't had a chance to praise it very much in podcast form, is that Andor was absolutely perfect from beginning to end. Both seasons, every episode. I know people complained about, oh, but the 3-episode little arcs, the first 2 episodes are so slow, and they only get action in the 3rd episode. That's the point, because you actually care for the characters by then. It was a masterpiece of television.
Yep.
Best show ever made. In my mind, it's amazing.
New standards.
I just thought I'd say that. Quickly talk about films. I thought it was a great year for films in general. The superheroes, I think they got better and better, especially the Marvel stuff. I think, I like Thunderbolts more than Fantastic Four. But yeah, Captain America 4, you guys mentioned last time, it was okay. It was the first time I agreed majorly that a Marvel film was really told in the editing, like it was tampered with in the editing, and they might have got too many notes and it really watered down the product. I think several of the shows have suffered from that, like Secret Invasion, for example. I like a lot of that show, but it really did lose a lot of its energy and a lot of its momentum, and it got bogged down, and it didn't feel very consistent by the end of the season. And I feel like this is the film equivalent of that, but I loved Thunderbolts. I thought that was really good. I love the cast. I thought it was really wonderfully directed. The music is lovely, and they did a lot of practical effects, which Marvel did stop doing for a long time, but they did a lot more practical effects and stunts in that one than they had in a while. And Fantastic Four was the best mix of practical and CGI that you're going to get, because we don't really film films out in space, so you need CGI for that. But a lot of the sets and a lot of the action was quite practical. Oh, and of course, you know, people can't stretch like Mr. Fantastic, so they CGI him. But other than that, I think it was a good mix of CGI and practical effects. But, you know, so many other films were great this year. Sinners at the start of the year was very good.
Oh, that was a brilliant film.
And it's quite genre as well. But I saw more films this past year than I ever have. And partly because it was such a good year for films, but also I don't want cinemas to disappear. So I encourage a lot of people, as many people as possible, to see as many films as possible when they come out. Especially, and I'm not saying that anyone on the podcast does this, but maybe some of your listeners do, a lot of people complain that it's all superhero movies, or it's all sequels, it's all this, that, and the other. It's never just an original story. When there is an original story, most of the time, people don't go and see it.
Yeah.
It does poorly, so studios don't make more of them. They make more sequels. Mm-hmm. So you have to support the sorts of films you want to see.
Yep.
Not to be too much, give too much of a lecture, but it just feels like common sense, and it feels like people miss that step when they say, oh, I've had enough of superhero films or sequels. Anyway, I've talked for a long time now. There's been a lot to talk about, and hopefully I could talk a bit more in the coming episodes. I'll send some more feedback. But just thank you very much for your podcast. Thank you for being a great community of people. Long may this continue, and hopefully next year is also really good for film and TV. It's got a very high bar to reach if it wants to be as good as 2025 in that regard. All right. See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reese.
Thank you.
Now, if Reese and Andrew have inspired you to put finger to keyboard and write to us, you can do so via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Yeah, I've not been watching nearly as much cinema as I should do.
Sinners was the first one we watched of the year, and it was, oh my God, it was a good film.
I must catch that then.
Yeah. I think Tron was the first one I'd seen that long time.
It's just popped up on Netflix, hasn't it?
I think so. I'd love to tell you about it, but no, watch it.
Okie doke.
Okay, that's it, isn't it? Lead us out, Adam.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast. But never fear. In the next one, there'll be more of the same.
I do fear constantly.
More fun frivolity and jollity.
Fun.
More news and reviews, more who, old and new. So until that.
S for Stranger Things.
Salacious.
Socially susceptible to semolina sandwiches.
Come sloshing.
Seductively.
Slimily. Slurpingly.
This is me, Fake Keith, saying farewell.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Cheerio.
My doctor says that I have a malformed public duty gland and a natural deficiency in moral fibre, and therefore excused from saving universes.
Excellent. You've stuck to that well. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, Number 489, featuring Adam Purcell, Fake Keith, Asdaman Jay, and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
That's fine.
It just as we were doing the most of silence, Trixie let out a big sigh.
They're doing it again.
It starts barking, thinking we were all dead.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. We could put together lots of yaps, and it could be, oh, Trixie, that was brilliant. Welcome to Staggering Stories.
If you like it.
I can do that.
Sorry?
I can do that.
Yeah, easier than trying to put it together after the fact.
And see the return of Brown as Sherlock Holmes's younger and very non-conical sister, Enola. Also
conical?
Canonical?
Canonical. She's not conical either.
No, we do not mock. We do not. We wait till the end before we point out. No. He's gone to go and do something gross in the toilet. Sorry.
Drown himself from the toilet.
No. Just waiting.
The microphones are on. Wouldn't it be cruel if I just went, as I was saying, Millie Bobby Brown may have finished Stranger Things. Are you crying?
Don't forget to tap. I assume you all tap.
Shake.
I was going to say, if I had one, I'd sort of shake it around. It probably wouldn't be that big, though.
Now you know why the toilet seat's like that.
Ah. Yeah.
He's doing something conical, isn't he?
I do not tap. I get a bit of toilet paper from the roll and then put it back.
Oh, you...
Mm. Oh!
So you
rip, dab,
no.
Turn.
No.
Don't rip it.
Pull, you just pull, dab, roll up. I thought when I had a sort of runny nose, there was a strange aroma. Would you like Jay beaten? He didn't understand the rules.
Sorry. Just lightly beaten.
Run onto my fist. There you go. Would you like to start that sentence again?
Did you pause the music there?
No, we paused for music before.
Oh, did we already?
Yeah, we've already paused.
When I said pause for music.
Two pauses are extravagant.
Yeah.
Have a slurp.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm going to.
He's going to do the opposite of a slurp.
He's going to have a tap.
Are you a dabber, a tapper, or a shaker? Or a little bit of each?
Or a sprinkler?
Very personal. I'm not sure I've been doing this long enough to be well, that personal with you guys yet.
Whatever, don't touch the first piece of loo roll. Going to talk to you about the last three and the finale. Pause for music.
So you got that wrong. See, she said it wrong. It was wrong. It was so wrong in its wrongness.
I pronounced it correctly, though. I didn't come up with conical things. Conical's a shape. It's
a conical end to Stranger Things.
Damn, shut it, I've got things.
I'm all juiced up.
I'm juiced up.
I was trying to imagine Millie Bobby Brown as a conehead.
We should review that sometime.
Yeah.
That's an image.
I got a reminder on Facebook of the hate towards me after I forced everyone to watch that Lost in Space
film. Oh, yeah, that popped up the other day, didn't it?
So I won't share those again. I don't want them reminded.
I was tempted.
Yeah,
it just popped up. We've watched the worst film ever, and it's all down to Scott.
It's all his fault.
Bastard.
Hope no one else is dead.
Right. We have... Oh, could someone check that Tom's not dead? Just a sec. Because it will happen one
Activate
day.
Tom calculator.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Here we go. BBC News.
Is Tom Baker dead?
Do-do-do-do.
Tom Baker was born January 20th.
Series says no.
So he probably is then.
Lead us out, Adam.
Oh.
He's got it written down.
I have got it written
He's
down.
He's got it written down.
Got some quotes. You could just play Crumbly in, couldn't
could
you?
Could do, yeah. Do an AI version.